In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom. I want to congratulate the people of the Bay State of Massachusetts for what you have done yesterday. I want to congratulate you that we have a new senator elect, and I ask the anointing of the Holy Spirit on this man. We have sent a message to Washington that we do not want business as usual. You know, business as usual should not be happening in the church. And it should not be happening in Washington. Because you know what? Business as usual is the same old stuff. Nothing happens when it's business as usual. But I want to tell you that there is an anointing to do the will of the Father. There is an anointing to do the will of God. There is an anointing that produces fruit. There is an anointing that produces a crop, a harvest. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. There is an anointing. And the Lord wants us to walk in faith. To walk in faith. Our lives must be faithful. That we, God's children, are walking in faith. We are not walking in sight. Because sight is nothing. Because sight doesn't bring in the harvest. Sight does not bring in the harvest. Faith brings in the harvest. Walking in faith in Jesus Christ. Business as usual is what everybody wants to refer to, wants to fall back to because it's safe. But I'm going to tell you, safety in the Christian life has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We are walking a tightrope. Our fight is against powers and principalities. We are walking a tightrope. It is so easy to become like everybody else. I want to tell you, we're never better than everybody else, but it is so easy to compromise. Business as usual. Business as usual. Well, in the state, we sent a message to Washington. We cannot deal with business as usual. I pray that the same message would be sent to the church. That we cannot deal with business as usual. We are tired of just forms with no power. Forms with no power. We need the unction of the Spirit. We need the presence of God. We need the Lord to come and do something. But he only does something through the sacrificial offerings of people as they offer themselves as living sacrifices of praise. Wherever you see something happening in the church, it is not because it's business as usual. It's because people have offered themselves as living sacrifices of praise. The center of our Christian faith is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. The center of our Christian life is the crucified Savior, the blood of the Lamb, the one who died and rose and who ascended and who will come again in glory. That is the center of our life, the crucified Jesus. St. Paul said that I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. He died. He died. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God. We need the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, business as usual will get nothing done in the church. Honest. Nothing. The only thing you'll have is what you had last year. There will be no increase. There will be no power. There will be no anointing. No grace. What you have last year, you'll have this year. And as a matter of fact, this year will be weaker than last year. And what you have this year, you have next year. And it'll be weaker next year than this year. Because we are not operating in faith. We are not walking out in faith. We are living by sight. We think that we have the structures that work. We sent a message to Washington saying, what you are doing, we do not like. How do we send that same message to the church? I think God has sent that message. He has sent the message with the scandal of priests. But I want to tell you, the church has overreacted. The church has overreacted. Like, why don't they put Father Toomey back into ministry? Why don't they put him? He's the best priest in the Archdiocese of Boston. What, they have overreacted. You know, this is the way it is. You see, it's part of the club. Okay, it's all part of the club. When God's people are leaving the church, they are going from the fullness of faith to other congregations, not because they really want to, but because we have given them the red carpet treatment to leave. We have given them because it's business as usual. How many people have told me, you know, Father Tom, if I had a priest like you, or like Father Martin, or like Father Joshi, if I had a priest like these priests, I never would have left the Catholic Church. I was forced out because, you know what, it was just nothing that was happening. Oh, I know the Eucharist, but I needed to hear the Word of God. I needed to grow in the Word of God. And you know what? That's what the church teaches. It's word, sacrament, and power of God. But you see, when you don't have that, people just vote with their feet and they leave the mother church, the church that our Lord founded, not because they want to leave, but because it's business as usual, because we're not living by faith, because the unction of the Spirit is not present. You see, when you talk about the church, you're talking about the body of Christ. That means things should be happening. There should be things happening in the church, like Sunday. Let me tell you what happened Sunday. I had just come home from a mission trip in Arizona for a little while. And I knew the anointing of God was still upon me in a great way. And so I decided to pray after the 11 o'clock Mass. As a matter of fact, Mass started at 11. I started walking home at 1:30, so that was 2.5 hours, okay? Okay, I knew that I needed to pray with sick people after the Mass because I knew the anointing of God was still on me from my trip, okay? And so the first one we prayed with was Mary. Now, Mary has a breathing problem. She's on full oxygen. So we prayed with Mary. I prayed the power of God into her lungs, okay? We had her walking without oxygen, okay? Then she sits down. She puts oxygen on one. She hasn't had oxygen on one or two for 5 years, all right? 5 years. 5 years. I knew the anointing of God was with me, and I knew that I just didn't want that anointing to go through my fingers like sand, okay? I knew that God wanted to bless people. I knew God wanted to bless people. And so we spent time with Mary. There's another man who's had a shoulder injury, and he wasn't completely healed, but he could raise his arm 2 inches higher than he was able to raise it before. It's better than nothing, you know what I'm saying? And then there was a woman with a back problem who was walking on eggshells and left walking almost as if she was cured, but she wasn't totally cured. But things happened, okay? Things happened. Why? Because the anointing was there, because the unction was there, because the Holy Spirit was there, because I stepped out in faith. Okay, we prayed for other people with back problems; they were not healed, and that's to my regret. That's sad. Makes me sad. But you know what? I've got to continue. Things have to be happening in the church. The church should be the place where it happens, where everything happens, where God is moving by the power of His Spirit. Not because it's just business, but because it deals with people and people's lives and people's pain, and it's necessary that people be touched by the presence of God. It's necessary. It's very necessary. And so we step into those things. We step into those things. That's all we can do is by faith step into those things. We cannot make them happen, but we do step into those things. And we just hope that by grace, God will continue to move by His Spirit. Now, when people go to the Eucharist, okay, and they're out in 40 minutes on a Sunday, I'm going to tell you, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Because it tells the people what we are doing really has no meaning to us. When in reality, the priest holds in his hand the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you know, if we're just going to do this quickly to get rid of it, you know, we send a message to people. We send the message. The first message is we really don't believe what's happening on this altar. That I think that's why so many people, when they are polled, think, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is truly present as Eucharist on the altar? They say, no, it's a symbol. I'm going to tell you, because actions speak louder than words. When people celebrate the Eucharist, when priests celebrate the Eucharist, as if this is a piece of bread, I'm going to tell you, actions speak louder than words. I realized when I was in the second grade, the way the priests would celebrate the Eucharist, that something holy was going on, okay? Something holy and awesome was going on. I didn't quite know what it was. I knew it was Jesus, but I knew something was holy and something was awesome because the priest celebrated with reverence. I also know that when I went to confession as a second grader, okay? I remember a second grader going to confession. You know, I was a little scared, and I confessed my sins. And now I'm praying the act of contrition, and the priest shuts the door in my face. And in the second grade, I realized, as a second grader, that this priest, you know, just wanted to get through what he was doing. He just wanted to get through what he was doing. And I was just a number. I realized, here I am praying the act of contrition that I'm sorry for my sins, and the priest shuts the door in my face. Well, I realize that, as you can see, I still know. I'll never forget that. Now, I'm not saying he was a bad priest. I'm just saying, you know what? When we celebrate sacraments, which is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, this is awesome. This is not something that I'm dealing with a couple of rocks on the beach. We're dealing with the blood of Jesus in confession. We're dealing with the very body, blood, soul, and divinity at the Eucharist of Jesus. You know, this is not just a casual thing. You see, this, but not only reverence, there has to be reverence, but there has to be power. You know, don't tell me that people are going to believe that God is powerful when nothing happens in the church. How could you believe that God is powerful when nothing happens in the church? You know? So what do people do? I'm going to tell you what people do. They go to the New Age, and they get power, and the power is from the devil. People are looking for power. People are looking for power. And if they don't find it in the church, they're going to find it in the New Age, and they're going to get wrapped up with the devil, okay? That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. It's like if a husband or a wife is not being loved at home, they're going to find another life. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be sexual, but they're going to find another life where they find meaning. That's just the way it is. That's the way, you know, we're made for love. We're made for love. We're made for the unction of the Spirit. We're made for the Holy Spirit. We're made for Jesus. So if people don't find these things in the fullness of the faith, they're going to look elsewhere. They're going to look elsewhere. And, you know, we as the church could be just like the Democrats, you know, say, you know, this is the way things are, and we're going to push it in your face. People will vote with their feet. People will vote with their feet. And you know what? We give them a red carpet to leave the church. Rather than, you know, Lord, what are we doing wrong? Lord, how do we better celebrate the Eucharist? Lord, how? I want to preach with fervor. I want to preach with love. I want to preach with fire. Lord, I want to know the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a young priest coming to me, you know, and he comes to spiritual direction, and he's a very wonderful priest. And, you know, I really have encouraged him to really enter into this experience of the healing ministry. And he's gone very far in the healing ministry. It's wonderful. Wonderful, the things that they're doing. He and his parishioners. Wonderful. But there was someone that's encouraging him. Said, go for it. Just go for it. He saw what I was doing. He used to bring people to me. We saw people healed when he brought people to me. Now, he's doing the things that he needs to do in his parish. And beyond his parish, God is anointing him. God is anointing him. God is anointing him. And people are coming to him. That's wonderful. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be just, you know, it's one person in Winthrop. You know, it's anybody who wants to do it. Anybody who wants to do it. Anybody who wants to offer their lives a living sacrifice of praise. And that's the whole thing. Wherever you see something happening, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a fragrance going up in union with the crucified, in union with Jesus. When nothing happens, there is no sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. It's business as usual. And even if you don't perceive that something is happening, if someone's living a sacrificial life, something is happening. It has to happen. Jesus Christ only works through a sacrifice. And the people know that. The people know that. That's why our phone rings from early in the morning until late at night. I don't have all the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers, but you know what? Our phone rings early in the morning until late at night. People from all over, poor, poor people. That's all I can say. Poor, poor people. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I want to just mention something that happened a couple of weeks ago, okay? The diocese knows nothing about pastoral care. Pastoral care. You know what pastoral care is? When one goes and tells a priest that you have been accused, okay? Now, if they've been accused, they need to do that. But how do you care for the priest pastorally? I'm going to tell you how they care. They just leave with that terrible news, whether it be true or not. That's not pastoral care. That's diabolical. If I'm going to go tell somebody this terrible thing has been put against you and you're going to have to leave your parish, if I'm going to tell, you better give those people pastoral care. You better be there for those people. This is the year of the priest. Don't mock us and say this is the year of the priest and you don't do anything. You know what I'm saying? This is reality. So somebody calls in something and says, so-and-so sexually abused me, okay? Now, this could be true, or this could be false, all right? Now, the diocese has to go to the priest. And what they do is they tell the priest, you know what, you're going to be out of here tomorrow or the next day. Rather than, you know, pastorally taking this man under our wing, pastorally caring for this person, yes, he has to leave, but to be caring for this person like the shepherd would care for the sheep. You understand what I'm saying? And most of these poor priests, even the ones that are not guilty, they just have not said anything. They just have, like Father McLaughlin, that beautiful Father John McLaughlin, that beautiful Father John McLaughlin, who has been declared innocent in the court. The parish of the diocese still doesn't bring him back. You know, it's sick. It's sick. But what about the pastoral care for priests? Don't tell me that this is the year of the priest when you don't care for the pastoral care of the priest. And, you know, we have Archbishop Sean, who is a Franciscan. I want to tell you what St. Francis said. If it meant reverencing a holy angel of God, even Michael the Archangel, or a reprobate priest, Francis said, I would go and kiss the hands of the priest because he brings Jesus down so that we can receive him at the altar. That's Francis. There is no pastoral care in the diocese. Oh, they send them off to St. Luke's and they come home worse than when they started. They send them off to sex school. You know what I'm saying? This is sick. This is sick. It's very sad. There's no pastoral care. I always thought that the underdog was what Jesus is for. That's what the church preaches. That's what Cardinal Sean preaches too. What about the underdog priests that have been accused? What pastoral care do we give them? Do we go into the rectory and tell them these things and then leave? That's not pastoral care. That sounds like Satan. Well, I tell you, my friend, pastoral care means, you know, you cry with people. You listen to people. You don't only tell them this is what we got. Pastoral care is saying, you come with me. Well, you know, we're going to help. Let's see how you feel. You know, pastoral care. Let's pray. That's pastoral care. And I'm going to put you under my wing. That's pastoral care. And then they're looking for vocation. Give me a break. God won't send people to this stuff. God will not send people to this kind of thing. When you abuse priests, that's what you do. Abuse priests. And, you know, then they come out and say, this is the year of the priest. Give me a royal break. That's why everything is falling down. I think we should just sing it. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. And it's not because God wants to fall down, because God is not responsible for your cheap labor. If we cannot live by faith, working through love, then we should close our buildings. We should close our churches and get converted before we open them up again. If we cannot live in faith, working through love, we should just close it up for a while until we get the real thing, until God becomes real in our life again, until we start caring for people from our heart, until we start living sacrificial lives. You want to know what? It would be better to have five parishes in the diocese as five people are living sacrificial lives and people are being fed and loved, even though the poor priest will be overworked. Sacrificial lives. Wherever God is at work, in a parish, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, you've got a sacrifice. And the sacrifice of people, a sacrifice not only of God, of the priest, but of people, things begin to happen. But anyway, come Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. And you know, Lord, I'm certainly not perfect. I'm not perfect at all. I need you so bad, because if you leave me, I have nothing, Holy Spirit. I have nothing, Holy Spirit. So come, come, come. Yes, renew the church, renew the face of the earth. Yes, renew the church, renew the face of the earth. Yes, renew the church, renew the face of the earth. Please, Holy Spirit, deliver us from the demon of business as usual. Please. Okay, tonight is Wednesday. We will be at the Espousal Retreat House tonight. We haven't been there in a while. That's at 554 Lexington Street in Waltham, Mass. We will be there tonight. Okay? And let me also tell you, we are going to be having a School of the Holy Spirit, learning to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The speakers will be Father Tom DiLorenzo, Maria Vadia, and Sister Linda Coons, and we have some other people too. It is February 17th to to the 23rd at the Espousal Center. You can go come for one session, you can come for a day, you can come for a week. It's going to be a whole week. The School of the Holy Spirit is not a conference. It is a School of the Holy Spirit learning to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maria Vadia, Father Tom DiLorenzo, Sister Linda Kuhn, and others will be there. Rooms and meals are available for the full retreat. Weekend is available, or daily is available. And the telephone number to call is 781-209-3120. 781-209-3120. 781-209-3120. 781-209-3120. Seating is limited, but we ask you, the dates are February 17th to the 23rd. It starts on Ash Wednesday evening. And it's a whole week. If you can come the whole week, you do it. If you can't come the whole week, you come for the day. If you can't come for a day, you come for a weekend. You do what you need to do, you know. We'll make, if you don't want to eat there, you just can commute. So it's February 17th to the 23rd, the Espousal Center in Waltham, Massachusetts. It's a School of the Holy Spirit, and February 17th to the 23rd. And that's all I have to tell you. Please pray for the church. Pray for me. Tonight we'll be at the Espousal Retreat House. Pray that good things happen tonight, that the Lord move by His Holy Spirit. And you know what? I don't want to live. I don't want to live a business as usual. I want to live in the power of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, upon all who want you. And I want you so much. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season. In